The gospel reading for today is found in Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. Before Paul's conversion to Christianity, he was a persecutor of Christians, a good Jew by all accounts. He was in a position of power, and most importantly, he was a Roman citizen, as well as being a Pharisee, a Roman citizen. That got him out of trouble so many times because people couldn't touch him as a Roman citizen, or they couldn't kill him because he was a Roman citizen. And it got him in places where he could do things and share the gospel that he would not have been able to otherwise if he had not been a Roman citizen. There's so much that could have gone another way, but God chose him as such and used him as such. And Paul is the one that wrote over half of the New Testament. Now, he did not write as much as Moses did. Moses only wrote five books, but they're longer. I mean, Moses was a lot more long-winded, right? Different story time, different things. But Paul wrote over half the New Testament, and his letters are wonderful, the way they greet a congregation, the way they greet a people, the way they greet an entire section of people, the Philippians, the Colossians, the church there. But when it got to Galatia, his letter is different. There's something different about this letter from all of his other letters. And what takes place at the very beginning is where you see that something's wrong. Because instead of, "I'm always giving thanks to the Lord for you, oh, I'm so glad to hear what's been going on there," he goes right after him. "Boy, you guys have messed it up." That's my translation. Not exactly the right wording you'll find in the Bible that way, but it's a summary of the first few verses of Galatians chapter 1. They were in a sorry state. They had gone through the gospel truth with Paul. They knew about Jesus' resurrection. They understood about God's grace and mercy and the forgiveness of sins. But now things had changed. They've been listening to some other people. They've been listening to folks that are talking about different paths to go down. They've been paying attention to folks that are saying that there are different ways to eternal life even, not just through this Jesus. And as these others came in, they undervalued the sacrifice of Christ. They said, "You have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this." It's like the Judaizers of old. Here's all the rules that we're going to follow, and you have to do all these things. They said, "Paul's way isn't the right way. He didn't tell you the truth." The only way we know the truth is from God. Truth comes from God. All of the other things that we have, all of the man-made ideas, the man-made attempts at following him, man-made ideas on what we should do and how we should do it, they pale in comparison, and then sometimes they're actually accused as being wrong entirely by God's truth. We cannot substitute God's truth with man-made lies. Be they just good intentions even, they are deceiving if they are not in accordance with God's complete truth. Paul said, "I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached isn't something that man made up." He said, "I did not receive this from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ." Those are the words in our text today. He received this by revelation from Jesus Christ. It's not a man-made thing. I will say that it is something, and we could use the word supernatural in the way this took place, but I'm just going to call it natural, because this is how God's Holy Spirit works and what He does. It's a natural task of God's Spirit to lead us to faith. It's a natural task of God's Spirit to lead us to Jesus. God's Spirit gets the credit for your being here even this morning. He's the one who prodded you with the idea, let's go to church, and you responded in faithfulness. But God's Spirit gets the credit because God's Spirit is doing this. It's just a natural thing for Him because that's who the Holy Spirit is and how the Holy Spirit works. That's His task, to lead us to live the right life and lead us to Christ. There are those who would, though, instead of preaching Christ and His salvation, give words that could be harmful to people, words that mislead people, preaching that is what itching ears want to hear. And sometimes people will run from the truth because it accuses, and instead go find something that is pleasing and not accusing, and allowing them to be more comfortable. It's not really what the Word of God is about. We've been warned in Scripture, and are again warned today, if you will, that there's a lot that we need to pay attention to of what came from God versus what comes from man. And so many churches are taking people down roads that are leading them away from the true revelation of Christ and the true Jesus. Instead of what the Bible says. The Bible says, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. There's your story. Follow Jesus. But there are a lot of churches that are doing other things. Preaching prosperity gospel. Telling people that if you do this, if you give this, if you serve in this way, God is going to bless you more and more in this life. You're going to receive more in abundance. You're going to receive more blessings. Versus what the Scriptures say, and the God of Scripture says, you will suffer and be persecuted, but great is your reward in heaven. I wonder how Paul would have felt if the Lord had thrown it out to him in that way at the very beginning. And maybe he did. We don't know. But to say to Paul, all right, you've been a persecutor of Christians. You've been one who has dragged people out of their homes and had them stoned or imprisoned for their faith. You have persecuted God. And now we're going to take you from this position of authority and power, and what I want to offer you is a life of persecution. I want to give you the opportunity to be persecuted yourself throughout the rest of your life. That's what I want to give to you. Just follow me and be persecuted now. He didn't say, follow me and I'm going to pour an abundance of blessings upon you in this life. You know, I'm thinking if I had been Paul at that point, I'm going, hold on, let's renegotiate here, Lord. Let's talk about this. Wait a minute, I'm going from up here to here, from the one holding the rock to the one being hit with the rock, to the one that's throwing people in prison to the one being in prison. But obviously, and as we see in Paul's letters, there was no turning back for this man. Didn't change him one bit. He took on that life, and he took it on willingly and gladly, knowing the reward of what was ahead. Some people want to claim that, well, every path leads to heaven. Everyone will be saved. Doesn't matter. Do good. Everyone's going down the same direction, same road. But the Scriptures clearly say, Jesus says of Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Only through Jesus do we have eternal life. Too many people want to believe that they can earn their way into heaven. And we know, as the Bible teaches us, that God gives us everything freely. It's not a matter of earning anything. You can either follow God, who created the heavens and the earth and all of nature and all that is, or you can follow man-made ideas and man-made teachings and an earthly version of faith and religion that will not save. It may bless you today, but it's going to be blown away like chaff tomorrow in the wind. It will not last. Paul said, I did not consult any man. He received this not from a man-made way, but in a natural act of the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit does. Again, could use the word supernatural, but this is just how God works. In a natural process of leading us to Him. You see, we have a sinful nature. By nature, we are sinful flesh, we're told in the scriptures. Without a doubt, by nature, we are sinful flesh. But we have another nature. And that's that Spirit of God that is placed within us. That nature is in conflict with the other nature. Because that nature has written in our hearts and our minds the natural law of God. God says He's placed that in us. It's the way we can understand, even those that have not been raised in a Christian church, how many other folks that maybe don't have any connection with any religion whatsoever still know the difference between good and bad. The things we do and there are things we don't do. We don't kill someone, or they would have the right to kill us. We don't steal from someone, because otherwise they would have to have the same right to steal from us. We care for our family and we are raised by someone and we have to follow and listen to them, or we don't turn out to raise our own families. There are things that are there within us. God has placed those things within us. That's that law of God that's in us that guides us and directs us. Even when we don't understand all of Scripture or even know about Scripture, it's there within man because God's Spirit resides within us. Now, what we need to do is listen to that Spirit over and above the sinful flesh. Over and above what was man-made, we need to go with what was given to us from the beginning, from God. All of our righteousness is like filthy rags. We can't do it. We can't accomplish it on our end of things. You can't build a clean house with filthy materials. It's just not possible. There can be only one truth. It either is what God has said or it's what people say. There can be only one right. It's either what God has said or it's what people say. And just because people, and throw out our country as an example in the way we do things in many cases, just because 51% of the people vote for something and say this is right doesn't make it right. Just because some Supreme Court decision comes down 5-4 doesn't mean that, is that right, 9 of them? Yeah, okay. Going through my head real quick, counting off names. Just because it comes down by a decision, that doesn't make it right. It may make it a law for our land, but it doesn't make it right. What does God say is right? What does God say is wrong? The Apostle Paul even said, "For I know that there dwells nothing good in me, nothing good in this flesh. But we know that we are also, and the Scriptures teach us, we are also the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you," the Scriptures say. That Spirit of God is leading us in the right ways, leading us in the paths of God. Psalm 19 says, all of the heavens declare the glory of God. And then it goes on to say, even the skies proclaim the works of His hand. Isaiah notes that even wild animals honor God. Ezekiel gives us the understanding that if we don't scream out God's name and praise Him, then the rocks are going to cry out from creation and praise the Lord. Everything in creation is serving God the way it should, except for one part of His creation. The trees are praising God by being the trees they were created. The rocks by being the rocks. The water by being the water. And having the properties that all these things do. Mankind is the only thing that rebels against God in nature. We're the ones with the sin. We're the ones that are working against God. If all of creation knows to praise God, shouldn't we? As opposed to following our ideas and our ideals. Paul writes in Romans, since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are there that are eternal and empower us by a divine nature to see and to understand that God has made all things. And all things are there because God has made them. And you go outside, you look outside, and even in the Texas dry heat out here, in the crunchy lawns already, it's going to be a long summer. God is evident. You can't look at all this world and say that it it happened by accident or by chance. God did this. And all of this is glorifying the Lord by what God has created it to be. But we fall short. We need to turn away from the man-made ideas, the man-perceived ideas, and stop warring against the Spirit of God that dwells within us and listening to that Spirit that was given to us in as natural a form as we inherited that sinful flesh, because you don't live through this life without that Spirit of God coming to you. You may not respond to that Spirit of God. Now, there's an issue. A lot of people don't respond or haven't heard, and so they don't know and understand where that law that is written within their hearts and their minds even comes from. But we know, and God knows. And since it's been revealed to us, it's been given to us to share that with others, to help them to know and to recognize the joy that can lie before them that already lies before us. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we have the forgiveness of our sins. And that's something that can be there for everyone in the world. All of creation praises God. All of creation sings His praises. All of creation knows what He has done. And if all of creation, all of nature knows God and listens to Him, then this last thought, I guess, would be, shouldn't people too? Instead of my way, thy way. Instead of my ideas, your plan, God. Instead of what I want, what does the Lord expect? Listen, and as God says in the Bible, what is required of us? Follow Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.